Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Maggie, please begin your conference. Thank you.
Okay, let's start today's conference. Good afternoon. Welcome to 2012 first quarter conference call. Before I start our presentation, I would like you to direct your attention to our disclaimer page, which states, "The information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or development referred to in this presentation." Let's start first with the business review. In the next three slides, I would like to highlight our growth areas. First, on mobile business. With a 45% YoY growth in the wireless data revenue, our mobile service revenue increased by 7% YoY in the first quarter this year. We also note that our mobile voice revenue decline narrowed to 3% YoY versus the 7% YoY drop a year ago. In terms of data revenue as a percentage of mobile service revenue, Taiwan Mobile continued to lead the pack. Please turn to the second page. For our smartphone strategy, apart from the 10 exclusive smart device models we currently have, we also have around 35 smartphone and tablet products on the market. In first quarter, smartphone users ARPU remained at nearly two times that of postpaid, and the payback periods of the two were actually very similar. In first quarter 2012, smartphone sales volume was up 45% from a year ago and accounted for 71% of total handsets sold. As of the end of first quarter 2012, smartphone penetration reached close to 27%. Please turn to the next page. As indicated in the table, our internet subscriber number increased of 12% and DTV customer number growth of 77% are all higher than 1% subscriber rise in the analog TV services in first quarter. Our cable internet ARPU continued trading up with 60% of new customers adopting 20 meg and above service. Given that only 28% of our customers are using our internet service and 90% of our customers have subscribed to DTV services, we expect further expansion in internet and DTV service take-up to provide future revenue growth. Please turn to the next page. This page of new products and service are what we have launched during the first quarter. It's for your reference. I will turn the mic to Vivian on our financial results.
For our financial overview, in the first quarter of this year, our consolidated revenue grew by 32%, credited to a 97% YoY increase in mobile service revenue. Momo, the enterprise segment, and cable TV division also contributed to the consolidated revenue increase. Despite rises in handset subsidies and direct store expenses from CBG, our first quarter consolidated EBITDA still managed to grow 5% YoY, mainly credited to Momo's contribution. In first quarter of this year, both the combined service revenue of the three business groups and Momo's revenue ahead of their respective guidance. Only handset sales revenue came in lower than expectations. Consolidated EBITDA surpassed our first quarter expectation by 4%, attributed to the group's better-than-expected cost and expense controls, and higher-than-expected EBITDA from Momo. Added by both core business and non-operating front, Our net profit exceeded the first quarter guidance by 7%. Please turn to the next page for our operating performance by business group. This quarter, CBG's accreted its mobile service revenue growth momentum to 6%, despite a 6% increase in service revenue and a 2% reduction in cash network costs. CBG did not see operating leverage in the quarter as well. We still investing in pushing up smartphone adoption. HBG's growth in both revenue and EBITDA were mainly driven by the increase in broadband revenue from market share gains in the high-speed segment. EBG posted double-digit YOY growth in profits, credited to the rising enterprise mobile and IP transit business, coupled with content expenses. On a quarter-over-quarter basis, EBG's EBITDA declined as due to higher sales of iPhone 4 packages. Momo's first quarter of this year revenue increase mainly came from a rise in online shopping revenue. Let me turn the presentation over to Rosie for balance sheet and cash flow analysis.
Now let's turn to the balance sheet page. The increase in inventories from a quarter ago came from both our mobile and Momo operations. Compared to a year ago, our inventory rose to reflect the inclusion of Momo's primarily. The year-on-year increase in intangible assets arose from our investment in Momo since July 2011. If you look at our liabilities and shareholders' equity section, you'll find our gross debt balance fell to $13.6 billion due to $4.3 billion short-term borrowing repayment in the quarter. That caused our net debt to further decline to $8 billion by end of the first quarter. On the ratios front, our current ratios sequential rise came as a result of a reduction in short-term debt, which also improved our net debt to EBITDA and net debt to equity ratios. Our return on equity remains as high as 26%. Now let's turn to cash flow analysis. Our operating cash inflows for the quarter decreased sequentially due to payments made for fourth quarter 2011 handset procurement and employee bonuses in third quarter of this year. Having said that, the cash level in first quarter remains similar to that of a year ago. On the net investing cash flow, in the first quarter, the net investing cash outflow was largely for the $1.5 billion in cash capex and the $4.3 billion short-term debt repayment was the main cash outflow item for financing activities during the quarter. On the capex and free cash flow, the decline in operating cash inflow in the first quarter led to a lower free cash flow and an annualized yield of 6%. Now let me turn the mic over to Vivian for event update and key message.
For the year 2011 earnings distribution, our board meeting today approved a proposal to distribute $13.9 billion NT dollars of cash dividends, comprised of 90% of year 2000 earnings, $822 million of special reserve, and $937 million of an appropriate earnings, translating into 103% payout to shareholders. Dividend per share is $5.16 based on our outstanding shares, excluding treasury shares held by 100% owned subsidiaries. Separately, the bottom portion of the slide lists the award that we have recently received for your reference. Please turn to the key messages page. In the near term, we will continue to commit most of the resources into pursuing future revenue growth. Continuous enhancement of operating leverage is underway to ensure our attainment of our financial targets of this year. To wrap up our presentation, the last slide summarizes the key message that we would like to deliver. Now we would like to open the floor for the questions.
We are open for a Q&A session.
Thank you, ma'am. And we are now polling for questions. Ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press star 1. Thank you. Our first questions come from Joseph Quinn from Macquarie, Taipei. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity to ask some questions, and congratulations on the very good results. I've got three quick questions, hopefully not too challenging. The first one is on your smartphone. You've launched a new own-brand smartphone. I'm just wondering what's your kind of target levels for that product, how you're expecting the ARPU for that product, and the sort of data packages you're going to do with that product also. Then on to your cable business. Do you have any targets for this year for your broadband and digital TV subscribers? Clearly, you have good growth in those last year, but I'm just wondering what you expect for 2012. And on the cable, staying with the cable, how is the progress in terms of the amendments to the law regarding government indirect government holdings? Have you got any update on that side as well? Thank you.
The first question regarding the low-end smartphone we just launched, and we will start to sell that smartphone in May 1st. And that smartphone is targeted towards those subscribers in the past. Either they cannot afford a high-end smartphone, but they have a desire to use mobile internet. That's the first target customers. The second groups of customer we targeted is for those who would like to use smartphone. They use feature phone, but they think they may try smartphone, but they may not have a great need for mobile internet. But somehow they still want to have like smartphone. But so they wouldn't like to pay too much for a smartphone. And so we have two package offers to these two kinds of customers. One package is for those who want smartphone but lower price, and we give them mobile internet access. And the second category of customers, we give them like short message service. For instance, 100 free short message service. These are for the second. And we hope this can drive the low-end segment of the smartphone to increase our penetration to like 75%. For instance, currently we sell on monthly basis, 70% of our sales is from smartphone. We try to increase to maybe 75, maybe even have a chance to reach maybe 80% by the end of this year. So this is the target for our smartphone, the low-end smartphone. As for this year, I have a target for broadband. Basically, to increase our subscriber base by 12%. But the major thing is not only to increase the broadband penetration, but also to increase the ARPU. Because this year we are going to push like 50 meg service, because nowadays we have a significant number of broadband. If we can increase the ARPU somewhat, it can be even more profitable. So the key now, not only the net increase of broadband user, but also the increase of the ARPU. As for digital TV, we have a very aggressive target.
It's 75,000 subscribers versus 46,000 by end of last year. So it's a 63% growth.
And the last, the amendment of the law, we are still pushing at this moment. However, currently the government is in, as you know, the government have a lot of issues to handle. Because the President Ma has talked, you know, tax things, the rise of the utility bill, those kind of things. So I'm not sure whether this is their top priority in the second quarter. But we are still trying very hard.
Understood. Thank you. Can I just follow up on two items? One on the digital TV side. With that aggressive push on digital TV, is it fair to assume that you're staying with the same sort of packages you've done before, or is this, as you increase your 50 megabyte services, you're going more aggressively cross-selling the digital TV? And then on a second topic, just forgot to mention it, on the dividend policy, have you changed your dividend policy going forward now, given the higher payout ratio, or are you maintaining the 90% payout? Thank you.
Okay, on the first issue, I think in the cable side, we basically have the same strategy. Okay, so because in the past, that strategy was very effective, and we didn't see any reason to change the strategy, the package, everything. So it's going to be status quo. As for the second question regarding the dividend payout, let me have Rosie to answer this.
Yeah, on the dividend policy, we still, as you know, we still have a lot of room for topping up our dividend for the future. As of the end of last year, we have a total of 23.6 billion, of which 12.4 billion is from capital surplus and 8.2 billion from legal reserves, and the rest from retained earnings. So quite a lot of room for us to topping up. I think I understand your question that with the amendment of the law in the beginning of the year, you are all very concerned about whether we will pay out more. I think we will definitely keep the shareholders' interest in mind, and we'll continue asking our wholly owned subsidiaries to forego dividend on their part. These wholly owned subsidiaries are those who hold our treasury shares. So this, on all these, I think it will be maintained. As to whether we will top up for the long term or in one go, I think in one go that's totally impossible for us. And we will continue our stable dividend policy for the future.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of a stable dividend policy, we're not talking about a flat rate in terms of maintaining that. You're more that you'll recommit to 90% and then going forward you may add on additional, correct?
I can definitely tell you that we will distribute 90%, and we will definitely ask our wholly owned subsidiary to hold the treasury shares to forego dividend. As to the rest, which has more to do with the topping up, it's up to the board to decide. So we cannot speak for them.
Understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Ben Chai from Credit Suisse Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the call. Congratulations on the result. I have four questions. The first question is regarding the smartphone penetration. May I confirm again that on your postpaid subscriber base right now, 27% are smartphone users. And do you have any specific target for this number by the end of the year? The second question is regarding your full year guidance. First quarter seems to be running ahead of guidance for quite a bit. But of course, you are in your statement guidance, you say that you just expect to achieve, to attain your target. So is it just a timing issue that allows you to surpass your target in the first quarter a lot, and hence there'll be an increase in cost and everything in the latter half of the year? The third question is regarding your cable business, the cable mix. I'm referring to slide 6. 60% of the new subscribers in the first quarter is higher speed subscribers. Are we talking about 60% of the 4,000 new subscribers you add on the cable internet side, or are we talking about the overall subscriber base? The fourth question is regarding the cable broadband competition. You think the growth that you are getting from right now is getting from your competitors, or is actually just a new broadband users? Thank you. Hello?
As for the question one, the target for us is by the end of this year, we can achieve more than 35% penetration in smartphones. As far as to what level, 36 or 37 or 38, it's all possible. It really depends on the market situation. And the full year guidance, I think we will stick with the full year guidance, because as you know, the government has raised the price of the oil, electricity, and a lot of things, and also have imposed new tax on stock market. So the market now is quite uneasy. So we don't know whether this will hurt the consumption or not. So in this case, even though we are ahead in the first quarter, but as you know, we can try to be more conservative. And as a question three, when we say 60% for new subscribers, it's not the install base. For new subscribers, 60% adopt the highest speed. For most of the new subscribers are from, of course, from CHT.
Yes, just one follow-up question regarding your cable broadband subscriber base right now. So if we look at the total subscribers right now, what is the mix between lower speed and higher speed subscribers?
Okay. Higher speed accounts for about 17% of the total. Higher speed means over 20 meg speed.
17, is that right? 17.
17, yeah, 17.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. And can we go to the next question, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, our next questions come from Solomon Chen from Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. And I just have one quick question on the smartphone. Of the 27% of smartphone penetration, can you share with us the split between the iPhone, iOS, and the Android? Thanks a lot.
Okay. Currently, iPhone take up right, roughly 25% of our install base, and 65% of our install base is in Android. But Android is getting more market share.
Yep. So the rest, I can assume that it is the Windows and then the BlackBerry, right?
Excuse me?
So for the rest, I can assume it is come from the Windows Mobile and then BlackBerry.
The rest is really Windows and BlackBerry.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Lucy Liu from JP Morgan Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. So I have three questions. One is still on your first quarter results versus full year guidance. So it seems like if you look at the equipment sales revenue, first quarter only achieved like 20% of the full year guidance, like a 10 billion NT dollar, despite of iPhone 4S sales. So just to wonder whether you see any downside risk on that front. And the secondly is on Momo. So understand that I think most of the revenue coming from online shopping business pickup in first quarter. So do you have any comments regarding this year's business outlook as well as the margin? Seems like the margin now trend down below 7%. So what's the trend going forward? And lastly is on your EBITDA margin. So I think, you know, we're glad to see the EBITDA margin recovery month by month in first quarter. But then I think versus your previous guidance, like 28% for the full year, seems like, you know, March trend actually already showed about like 30%. So I think operating leverage will further help your margin. So just wonder, you know, what's your outlook for the margin on the margin side? Thank you.
The equipment sale in the first quarter is below our forecast. This is partly due to the a little lower sales volume of iPhone 4S. Okay, so but these equipment sales really doesn't affect our profitability or other things because most of our equipment sales are really bundled. And the major driver for this equipment sales revenue is really iPhone. And
On the Momo margin, it's the internet growth, internet revenue growth that's pushing down the margin. So Cliff will answer the EBITDA margin trend, our outlook for this year for our consolidated numbers.
Well,
our mobile numbers.
As you know, in the last conference, I mentioned about a major factor is really iPhone. Okay, so the iPhone has always been a factor in the margin we have. As you can see, in December and January, when we sold a lot of iPhone, it really affected our margin. But the iPhone slowed down in February and March, so our margin rebounded. And there was a lot of rumor regarding when Apple will launch the iPhone 5. It's maybe in August, in June, or in October. These will affect how many iPhones we sell for this year. So in a way, of course, when we do the whole year forecast, we have included all these variables into our forecast. But at this moment, so we are committed to achieve our full year guidance. But at this moment, it's very hard for me to tell whether the margin will go up sequentially. It really depends on the iPhone.
Okay, thank you. So can I actually have a follow-up question on Momo? So so do you feel that the business environment or economy environment or operation of Momo currently or year to date are meeting up your expectation of the business? And also, what's the synergies you're actually achieving between your business and the Momo, if there is any? Thank you.
I think in the first quarter, the Momo is ahead of its budget. So the Momo performance meet our expectation. And regarding the synergy, we are working on something. I think hopefully some of the synergy or some of the effort we collaborate with Momo will show up in the second half of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. To register for questions, please press star 1. Once again, it's star 1 to register for a question. Thank you. And we have a follow-up question coming up from Mr. Ben Chia from Credit Suisse Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just one follow-up question on your house brand mobile phone. So what's the name of the brand? And what's the selling price point?
The brand name, the model name is Amazing, Amazing One, A1. And the selling price is 3,990 dollars. So it's almost like $130.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have another follow-up question come from Ms. Lucy Liu from JP Morgan Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. I have two follow-up questions. One is on your backhaul. So like how much, can you share with us like how much backhaul infrastructure you use already basically built by yourself and how much you basically are still leasing from Chunghua or the other guys? And secondly is on your smartphone. So what's the product mix with the smartphone, like in terms of like a mid-end, low-end versus high-end? Thank you.
90% of our backhaul we build 90% of our backhaul. So we only rent roughly 10% from CHT. And as for the mix of the high, middle, and low, I think it really fluctuates every month. And as for April, I think the high end is roughly roughly maybe 30%. The middle end is roughly another 30%. 25 to 30%. The low end is roughly 30 to 35%.
Thank you. So, in terms of smartphone launch in the in the rest of the year, so besides like iPhone, as we understand, so what are mainly the other branded smartphones? In which tier are they mostly in?
Well, other than iPhone, the high end consists of like Samsung Galaxy S2 and the Samsung Galaxy Note. And in April, we also include the HTC One X, and also Samsung Galaxy, Samsung Nexus. That's about it.
Okay, understand. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Mr. Joseph Quinn from Macquarie Taipei. Please go ahead.
Hi, Cliff. Two quick follow-up questions. One on your enterprise customers. I've noticed that you've been gaining quite good momentum in terms of enterprise growth the last two quarters. And I'm just wondering what your expectations are there and if you have any idea, in terms of what your SMB market share would be. And then the second question is on 4G licenses in Taiwan. Just want to know kind of your thoughts on the process there in terms of timing and also maybe strategy in terms of what you wish to do with your 2G if it needs to be refarmed, etc. Thank you.
For the enterprise, I think we, as for the market share, I know our competitor has mentioned how much market share they are going to gain, but in the enterprise market, it's really hard to say market share because you have so many different products. I think the reason we are getting traction in the enterprise is because we are trying to provide mobile voice and data service combined to help business mobility. This is something we are working on in the past 2 quarters. I think this is maybe part of the reason we have some growth. And as for the 4G, our view is that most likely the 4G license will be optioned in maybe first quarter or second quarter of 2014. And of course we have people to investigate this. But as for the intention, our strategy, I guess right now it's not appropriate for me to elaborate on this.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. To register for a question, please press star 1. Once again, it's star 1 to register for a question. Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Lai, it seems to be no further question at this point in time, sir.
Okay, if there's no further question, let's close this conference call. And thanks for attending the conference call.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes your conference. Thank you.